Nirvana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipanao Sat Dharma Sanstapako Lokanan Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padaravinda Vajanan Andena Matsaliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Sri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyaga Sri Jiva Gopalako.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. They are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 1, Characteristics of Pure Devotional Service, continued. Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. Srila Rupa Goswami has given a definition of auspiciousness. He says that actual auspiciousness means welfare activities for all people of the world. At the present moment, groups of people are engaged in welfare activities in terms of society, community, or nation. There is even an attempt in the form of the United Nations for world health activity. But due to the shortcomings of limited national activities, such a general mass welfare program for the whole world is not practically possible. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is so nice that it can render the highest benefit to the entire human race. Everyone can be attracted by this movement, and everyone can feel the result. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and other learned scholars agree that a broad propaganda program for the Krishna consciousness movement of devotional service all over the world is the highest humanitarian welfare activity. How the Krishna consciousness movement can attract the attention of the whole world, and how each and every man can feel pleasure in this Krishna consciousness, is stated in the Padma Purana. A person who is engaged in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is to be understood to be doing the best service to the whole world and pleasing everyone in the world. In addition to human society, such a Krishna conscious person is pleasing even to the trees and animals because they also become attracted by such a movement. A practical example of this was shown by Lord Chaitanya when he was traveling through the forests of Jharkhand in central India for spreading his Sankirtan movement. The tigers, the elephants, the deer, and all other wild animals joined Sri Krishna Chaitanya and were participating in their own ways by dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. Furthermore, a person engaged in Krishna consciousness, acting in devotional service, can develop all the good qualities that are generally found in the demigods. It is said by Shukadeva Goswami in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 18th chapter, verse 12, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvaya gunai satra samasate sura harav abhaktasya kuto mahad guna mano ratenasati davato bahi. My dear king, persons who have unflinching faith in Krishna and who are without any duplicity can certainly develop all the good qualities of the demigods. On account of a devotee's high grade of Krishna consciousness, even the demigods live with him, and therefore it can be understood that the qualities of the demigods have developed in his or her body. But on the other hand, a person who is not Krishna conscious has no good qualities. Although he or she may be highly educated from the academic point of view, in the actual field of one's activities, however, one can be seen to be baser than the animals. Even though a person is highly educated academically, if one cannot go beyond the sphere of mental activities, then one is sure to perform only material activities and thus remain impure. There are so many persons in the modern world who have been highly educated in materialistic universities, but it is seen that they cannot take up the movement of Krishna consciousness and develop the high qualities of the demigods. For example, a Krishna conscious boy, even if he's not very well educated by the university standard, can immediately give up all illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication. Whereas those who are not in Krishna consciousness, although very highly educated, are often found to be drunkards, meat eaters, sex mongers, and gamblers. So these are all practical proofs of how a Krishna conscious person becomes highly developed in good qualities, whereas a person who is not in Krishna consciousness cannot do so. We experience that even a young boy in Krishna consciousness is unattached to cinemas, nightclubs, naked dance shows, restaurants, liquor shops, etc., because he or she has become completely freed. One thus saves his or her valuable time from being extravagantly spent in the way of smoking, drinking, attending the theater, and dancing. One who is not in Krishna consciousness usually cannot sit silently even for a half an hour. The yoga system teaches that if you become silent, you will realize that you are God. This system may be all right for materialistic persons, but how long will they be able to keep themselves silent? Artificially, they may sit down for so-called meditation, but immediately after their so-called yogic performance, they will once again engage themselves in such activities and other nonsensical things such as illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, etc. Whereas a Krishna conscious person gradually elevates him or herself without endeavoring for this so-called silent meditation. Simply because one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he or she automatically gives up all this nonsense and develops a high character. Thus, one develops the highest character simply by becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. The conclusion is that no one can truly have any good qualities if he or she is lacking in Krishna consciousness. Happiness in Krishna consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami has analyzed the different sources of happiness. He has divided happiness into three categories, which are number one, happiness derived from material enjoyment. Number two, happiness derived by identifying oneself with the Supreme Brahman. And number three, happiness derived from Krishna consciousness. In the Tantra Shastra, Lord Shiva speaks to his wife Sati in this way. My dear wife, a person who has surrendered him or herself at the lotus feet of Govinda, and who has thus developed pure Krishna consciousness, can be very easily awarded all the perfections desired by the impersonalist. And beyond this, one can enjoy the happiness achieved by the pure devotees. So happiness derived from pure devotional service is the highest because it is eternal. The happiness derived from material perfection or understanding oneself to be Brahman is inferior because it is temporary. Because there is no preventing one's falling down from material happiness, and there is even every chance of falling down from the spiritual happiness derived out of identifying oneself with the impersonal Brahman. It has been seen that great Mayavadi impersonalist sannyasis, very highly educated and almost realized souls, may sometimes take to political activities or to social welfare activities. The reason is that they actually do not derive any ultimate transcendental happiness in their impersonal understanding, and therefore they must come down to the material platform and take to such mundane affairs. There are many such instances, especially in India, where these Mayavadi sannyasis once again descend to the material platform. But a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness will never return to any sort of material platform, however alluring and attracting they may be. A Krishna conscious person always knows that no material welfare activity can compare to the spiritual activities of Krishna consciousness. The mystic perfections achieved by actually successful yogis are eight in number. Anima Siddhi refers to the power by which one can become so small that one can enter into a stone. Modern scientific improvements also enable us to enter into stone because they provide for excavating so many subways, penetrating the hills, etc. So Anima Siddhi, the mystic perfection of trying to enter into stone, has also been achieved by material science. Similarly, all of the yoga siddhis or perfections are simply material arts. For example, in one yoga siddhi, there is development of the power to become so light that one can float in the air or on the water. This is also being performed by modern scientists. They are flying in the air, they are floating on the surface of the water, and they are traveling under the water. So after comparing all these mystic yoga siddhis to materialistic perfections, we find that the materialistic scientists try for the very same perfections. So actually there is no difference between mystic perfection and materialistic perfection. A German scholar once said that the so-called yoga perfections had already been achieved by the modern scientists, and so he was not concerned with them. He intelligently went to India to learn how he could understand his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord by means of bhakti yoga or devotional service. Of course, in the categories of mystic perfection, there are certain processes which the material scientists have not yet been able to develop. For instance, a mystic yogi can enter into the sun planet simply by using the rays of the sunshine. This perfection is called lagima. Similarly, a yogi can touch the moon with one's finger. Although the modern astronauts go to the moon with the help of spaceships, they undergo many difficulties, whereas a person with mystic perfection can extend one's hand and touch the moon with one's finger. This siddhi is called prapti, or acquisition. With this prapti siddhi, not only can the perfect mystic yogi touch the moon planet, but one can extend one's hand anywhere and take whatever one likes. One may be sitting thousands of miles away from a certain place, and if one likes, one can take fruit from a garden there. This is known as prapti siddhi. The modern scientists have manufactured nuclear weapons with which they can destroy an insignificant part of this planet. But by the yoga siddhi known as Ishita, one can create and destroy an entire planet simply at will. Another perfection is called Vashita, and by this perfection, one can bring someone under one's control. This is a kind of hypnotism, which is almost irresistible. Sometimes it is found that a yogi who may have attained a little perfection in this Vashita mystic power comes out among the people and speaks all sorts of nonsense, controls their minds, exploits them, takes their money, and then goes away. This is another mystic perfection, which is known as prakamya, or magic. And by this prakamya power, one can achieve anything he or she likes. For example, one can make water enter into one's eye and then come out again from within the eye. Simply by one's will, one can perform such wonderful activities. But the highest perfection of mystic power is called Kamavasayita. This is also magic. But whereas the prakamya power acts to create wonderful things within the scope of nature, Kamavasayita permits one to contradict nature. In other words, to do the impossible. Of course, one can derive great amounts of temporary happiness by achieving such yogic materialistic perfections. Foolishly, people who are enamored of the glimmer of modern materialistic advancement are thinking that the Krishna consciousness movement is meant for less intelligent men. They think, I am better off being busy with my material comforts, maintaining a nice apartment, family, and sex life. But these people do not know that at any moment they can be kicked out of their material situation. Due to ignorance, they do not know that real life is eternal. The temporary comforts of the body are not the goal of life. And it is due only to darkest ignorance that people become enamored of the glimmering advancement of material comforts. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore said that the advancement of material knowledge renders a person more and more foolish because it causes one to forget one's real identity by its glimmer. This is doom because this human form of life is meant for getting out of material contamination. By the advancement of material knowledge, people are becoming more and more entangled in material existence, and they have no hope of being liberated from this catastrophe. In the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, it is stated that Prahlad Maharaj, a great devotee of the Lord, prayed to Lord Nisunga, the half-man, half-lion incarnation, as follows. My Lord, I repeatedly pray unto your lotus feet that I may simply become stronger in devotional service. I simply pray that my Krishna consciousness may be more strong and steady, because happiness derived out of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is so powerful that with it one can have all other perfections of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and even the attainment of liberation from material existence. Actually, a pure devotee does not aspire after any of these perfections, because the happiness derived from devotional service in Krishna consciousness is so transcendental and so unlimited that no other happiness can compare to it. Actually, it is said that even one drop of happiness in Krishna consciousness stands beyond comparison with an ocean of happiness derived from any other activity. Thus, any person who has developed even a little quantity of pure devotional service can very easily kick out all the other kinds of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. During the time of Lord Chaitanya, there was a great devotee known as Kolabecha Sridhar, who was a very poor man. He was doing a small business selling cups made from the leaves of plantain trees, and his income was almost nothing. But still, he was spending 50% of his small income on the worship of the Ganges, and with the other 50%, he was somehow living. Lord Chaitanya once revealed himself to this confidential devotee, Kolabecha Sridhar, and offered him any opulence he might like. But Sridhar informed Lord Chaitanya that he did not want any material happiness, for he was quite happy in his present position and wanted only to gain unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And so, that is the position of pure devotees. If they can be engaged 24 hours each day in devotional service, they do not want anything else, not even the happiness of liberation or becoming one with the Supreme. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is also said that any person who has developed even a small amount of devotional service doesn't care a fig for any kind of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, or the five kinds of liberation. Any kind of happiness derived from religiousness, economic development, liberation, or sense gratification cannot even dare to enter into the heart of a pure devotee. It is therefore stated that as the personal attendants and maid servants of a queen follow the queen with all respect and obeisances, similarly, the joys of religiousness, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation automatically follow the pure devotee. In other words, a pure devotee does not lack any kind of happiness derived from any source. A pure devotee does not want anything but service to Krishna. But even if a pure devotee should have another desire, Lord Krishna fulfills this without the devotee's asking.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All glories to my ever-well-wisher, the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.